Let us pray. God of love, may the words of my mouth begin in my heart and be a light along life's path for these, your people. Amen. On a hot southern night, some 170 years ago, a weary slave sat before a tar paper shack and lifted his voice in a song of lament, a mournful, deep song whose words gave expression to the pain of having been taken from home, separated from family, subjected to slavery. With hurt and longing, he sang these words, "Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child, a long way from home." Now, while I do not mean in any way to equate the experience of slavery with our experience amidst COVID-19, I think we can all acknowledge our feelings of loss and separation. But that's not all we're feeling. There's a story told of a rookie baseball player just up from the minor leagues who was sent up to bat against the great Hall of Fame pitcher from the St. Louis Cardinals, Bob Gibson. Gibson was in his prime. Just off the bench and as nervous as someone on his first date, the rookie stepped up to the plate and took a couple of tentative practice swings as the great right-hander Gibson glared down at him from the mound. Then, with a great windup and pitch, Gibson blew two consecutive fastballs right down the center of the plate, so fast that the poor rookie didn't even have time to swing his bat. What the rookie did was turn on his heels and start back to the dugout. "What are you doing?" his manager shouted at him as he approached the steps. "Get back out there. You've got another pitch coming." "Let him have it," the rookie said. "I've seen enough already." I think we're feeling that way, aren't we? Outmatched by life, up against what seems to be impossible odds, depressed, downhearted, hopeless and helpless, overpowered by our situation. Well, there is good news amidst all those feelings. As we gather here today, we encounter the resurrected Christ, the one who has triumphed over the cross and the grave, our Lord Jesus Christ, who says to us, as he did to the disciples, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you alone. I will not abandon you." Orphans. Now, that's a word we don't hear very often anymore. It's not a popular word. In fact, we try to avoid the thought that orphans even exist anymore. And yet, I just saw a documentary this week on PBS that estimated that the South China Sea tsunami that struck at Christmas right in 2000 left as many as 1.5 million children orphaned. Just think, 1.5 million children left without parents from that one tragedy. And my friends, there have been many more tragedies since that tsunami in 2000. And there's many more children who are just like those who were orphaned that day 20 years ago. And yet, we know that it isn't just children without parents who are orphans. There are countless others who feel abandoned, who feel alone without help, who are left without guidance or comfort, who feel like orphans as well. A factory worker in his mid-50s, who's laid off when the plant closes, leaving him with no prospect of another job. Too old and too weary to reconsider retraining, without skills that can be retooled, he feels alone. Unemployed and living off pension funds that will likely soon run out. Who is there to say to him, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will not abandon you"? Or how about the 80-year-old alone at home after 50 years of marriage? Her spouse no longer with her. She nods off in front of the television in front of a half-eaten frozen meal. She's alone in a house too big for her. Children with lives of their own in different towns. Who is there to say to her, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will not abandon you"? It might be the teenager who's different from the rest, the wife or husband whose spouse has left them, the businessman whose business is failing, or the parent whose child has rebelled and left home, or any of the countless others in the world around us who feel alone and without hope, rejected and lonely, just like that rookie who was facing baptism. To them and to us, there is good news this morning. For there is one who is here to say, I will not leave you as orphans. I will not abandon you. In our scripture reading today, Jesus sits with the disciples in the upper room. The candles of the Passover meal have burnt short, and it's time to go. One disciple has already fled the gathering, his betrayal a shock to all of them. Another disciple's denial is predicted, and the pain of the cross awaits them all. And in the midst of this uncertain gathering, Jesus reaches out to them in love. I will not leave you. I will not abandon you. I will send you a counselor, an advocate, a comforter, a friend who will care for you, who will offer you hope when there is none to be found. Help when you are helpless. Comfort when you can find none. And life in the face of death. The Holy Spirit is God's gift to us. The Holy Spirit is God's presence in life. The Holy Spirit sends us forth then as messengers of God's love to the poor, the unemployed, the young and the elderly, the sick and the rejected, the unhappy, the sorrowful, the lonely and the dying. Even if we deliver a message by text or email or phone call or card or Facebook or whatever other social media tools we have at our disposal, who is it that will say to them, I will not leave you as orphans. I will not abandon you. Well, God says it can be us. For we are the ones whom God entrusts with the good news. We are the ones sent forth with his love. Ideals are powerful things, but an ideal has no power to heal a broken heart. An ideal cannot take away the pain of heartache or fill the void of loss. An ideal can bring no comfort in the face of tragedy or peace in the wake of death. An ideal is no substitute for experiencing the love of Jesus. That's why Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will not abandon you. You will have my love to strengthen you. One of the most famous of all the English poets was one by the name of Elizabeth Barrett, who was an invalid for many years. Her illness so severe that in the end she was so weak that she could not even raise her head from her pillow. One day she was visited by a man by the name of Robert Browning, who came to meet the author of the poetry that had inspired him so. After his first visit, an amazing thing happened. He left Elizabeth with such joy and happiness that she was able to lift her head. On his second visit, Elizabeth sat up in bed, and on her third, they eloped and were married. Today, she is known as Elizabeth Barrett Browning, one of the greatest of all English love poets. Such is the power of love. Love has the power to heal. It has the power to make well. It has the power to lift drooping heads and fill empty hearts. No wonder people were healed just by coming into the presence of Jesus. I wonder, did you ever wonder about that? All those stories in the New Testament that tell of someone who just came to Jesus and with just a touch or just a word were made well? For love has the power to do that. Love has the power to heal, and that's what Christ can do. But we must come into his presence. We must draw near to him. And that's why we open God's word. That's why we study the Bible. That's why personal time of devotion and prayer are so important. For in them we come close to Christ. In them we draw near to our Lord. And in coming to him, we enter the presence of God. And God's love makes us well. Jesus can heal the brokenhearted. He can fill the emptiness of loss. And he can comfort the lonely and strengthen the weak. Sometimes we do feel like a motherless child. Sometimes we feel overmatched by life. But we have a God who loves us. We have a Savior who triumphed over death. And we have the gift of the Holy Spirit, God's presence to bring faith to life. And because of that, we have the peace of God that passes all understanding to keep our heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Amen.